Hi, this is Rachel Macklehuma.
Oh, cool. Well, this is Griffin Macklehuma. And this is wonderful. This is good. I like this vibe. No, you've set the perfect right vibe for us tonight. Because I was going to come at you this intro with a little bit of scup. Scup-a-bop. Scup-a-bop.
Every time I say McElroy, I always like have to very deliberately enunciate.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if you think about it, I've only had this last name for like, you know, a little over 5 years.
Oh, she's a McElroy. She's a mouthful, isn't she? She's a, you know, she's got twists and turns.
It's the know?
Yeah.
McElroy.
Yeah, it's tough to say
a
those
lot of
ones.
Vowel sounds in there.
But anyway, I thought I'd come at you with a little bit of skip up, bop, bop.
Okay.
Because this one's going to be, I've got a new term, and I feel like it's going to describe this type of episode that we do from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like jazz.
Okay.
But it's also super casual. And so the word I'd like to pitch to you is jazual.
Ooh, I like that a lot.
Here's the deal, y'all. Get in the right mindset, everybody. It's going to be jazual. Rachel forgot her notes at work, and we can't go back to work again. They lock up Rachel's work, and if we try to break in to get the notes, we'll be arrested or shot on site. So Rachel's just flipping it off the dome today, which I'm fucking stoked to see.
Well, and I did recall some of my preferred sites for information on my topics. So,
but I don't see a slip of paper in front of you though, because this one's going to be straight jazual, folks. Don't even worry about it. And also, it's a holiday this week. I'm feeling loosey goosey. I'm feeling limber, and I'm feeling like creating some real, genuine, just freaking podcast scat, some pod scat with you.
Ooh, I don't like that expression.
You don't like pod scat?
No.
Why not? It's just moving some of the letters around. It's fun, isn't it?
It seems like something you'd find in the woods.
Hey, do you have any small wonders?
I do. Our baby boy is 3 years old.
He did turn three. I do not think we can call him a baby legally anymore.
Oh, jeez.
I had that realization. I had that talk with one of his teachers. I was like, I can't call him baby. And he's not even close to a baby.
No, it's been a while.
He smokes and has a tattoo.
3 years ago, I went into labor on Thanksgiving Day.
True.
And we had our baby on Black Friday.
Really inconvenient. I missed all the deals.
You did.
We both missed. Well, I had a little bit of second Thanksgiving. You missed second Thanksgiving entirely.
No, I had people brought leftovers to the hospital for us.
But you know, it wasn't primo. It was the people had already sweat into the mashed potatoes and cried into the stuffing and. Yeah. Oh, gosh, I don't actually have a small wonder this time. Our neighbors have put up their Christmas lights already. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, everybody, the world decided, you know what, let's get started early this year.
Everyone got a jump on it a little bit this year, which Henry is delighted by, which I enjoy quite a bit, seeing the magic through his eyes. Who goes first this week? I forgot to check.
I don't know.
Do you know why I forgot to check, baby?
Why?
Because it's jazual.
It's jazual.
I think it's J-A-Z-Z-U-A-L. I think it's more fun that way.
I want one Z. Otherwise, you got the whole jazz in there.
That's
fair. And I want a little bit of jazz and a little bit of casual.
You go first this week.
My first thing is a little complex to talk about. To summarize, I guess, in like a brief few words. So here's what I'll say.
Okay.
Local business owner celebrities.
Local business owner celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
Local business.
Specifically, the type of regional companies or organizations that advertise on television.
I got you. Okay.
I
thought of David Comey, and the rest of the pieces just fell right into place.
The reason I thought of this, and this is strange. So our friend Anna Roach is an expert at retweeting exceptional things.
Right.
And she tweeted this story that I hadn't heard before about a little toddler who had a birthday party themed on a personal injury lawyer in his town. This is actually from 2015.
Okay.
But I have no memory of this happening.
Right.
And then when I looked into it, there were a whole bunch of articles about it. It is a little boy named Grayson. He used to watch television when he'd stay over at his grandma's house, and there'd be these commercials for Morris Bart, who was this personal injury lawyer in Louisiana. And he just was totally entranced by the commercials. And from what I can tell, it's not like he had any clever characters or anything. It's just him facing the camera. And his little catchphrase was "one call, that's all." And there'd be this pleasant music, and he would talk about, you know, helping people in trouble.
Yeah.
And the little toddler was just so entranced by it that the mom decided to have a little birthday party for him with like a cake and a cardboard cutout and a t-shirt, all themed around Morris Bart. And this just blew up. They like wrote a story about it in The Advocate, which is like a media outlet for all of Louisiana. And then it was picked up by like Huffington Post and the Today Show, and NPR. And a few months later, Jimmy Kimmel actually Skyped in with the mom and the boy Grayson.
Yeah.
And surprised them with Morris Bart at their house.
That's a weird. I wonder how you actually respond when confronted with.
Well, the little boy, apparently part of the thing that like made it so clear that he was a fan is the little boy would chant Bart, 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 Bart every time the commercial was on.
That is so delightful.
And so when he
showed
up at the door, the little boy started chanting.
It sounds like your segment is more about little boys and the things that they become fixated on.
Because this led me to look into my St. Louis local celebrities.
Okay, what do you got?
So there was Becky, Queen of Carpets. And she would stand in front of a green screen on like a big rug.
Okay.
And then she had Wanda, Queen of Tile, who would be with her at some point.
She had a whole sort of like cinematic universe.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
So there was that. There was the famous one I found was Schweig Engel, which was two guys that did like a furniture and electronics store.
Okay.
And they would do these like ridiculous costume commercials, like all about people with bad credit and how they could buy things there. You can find 2 hours worth on YouTube.
Holy
by the way.
Shit.
The other ones I found, there was a family, Carol Brothers, I think, with Brooke and his sister Amy, and they used to do a lot of commercials. These are like people that were like celebrities in my town growing up. Specifically because of their commercials and the kind of narrative thread they would weave through them.
God, that's good.
And so Morris Bart reminded me of that. And this guy, I guess, has been in Louisiana forever. He finished the bar like in 1979 or 1980, got his law degree. And he was the first, from what I can tell, he was the first lawyer in Louisiana to advertise on television. And now he has one of the biggest firms in the country. He's got like 100 people working for him. And goes across multiple states now, this guy.
That's incredible. Mm-hmm. It also makes me so jealous that this is not the type of product that we have to advertise for, because God, I would love to whip up some regional spots. I would love to.
Do you have any local Huntington celebrities that you thought of when I was talking about this?
Yeah, the thing that immediately springs to mind is a car dealership they operated out of Charleston. I think they also had a spot in Huntington. But they had, do you remember when car dealerships, like one car dealership somewhere in the country, like during some commercial said out loud, and we love the troops. And then every fucking car dealership had to like double down and be like, uh-huh. We also, yeah, like.
Yes, of course.
Yeah,
yes.
We also do. Like, sure. Yeah. There was one place in West Virginia called Burt Wolf Ford. Burt Wolf Ford, somebody, I guess, pulled out the gauntlet of patriotism, and they went fucking hog wild on it and had a series of annual commercials and radio spots that were just like, an eagle fucking snatching a hot dog out of somebody's hand at a flag store or something like that at an American flag convention. And the song that would play over it, and this isn't a joke, and is also probably illegal, went a little something like this. I'm proud to be an American and shop at Burt Wolf Ford.
Clever.
We would quote this to each other, me and my friends, for a very long time, because it's not just so crass.
Yeah.
It is so catchy. Can I do my first thing?
Yes.
My things are pretty lightweight this week. I feel, again, it's going to be a sort of jazzy episode. Do you ever have the thing where you move your finger around the trackpad, but you don't see your cursor because you're 100 years old?
Yes.
Anyway, my first thing is
that
holiday pants. My first thing is holiday pants.
Okay. Can I make some guesses?
I wish you would.
First is the most obvious in that they are pants that are decorated in holiday spirit. Is that it?
This guess is incorrect.
Okay. Second is pants that are expandable for a person who might eat too much on a holiday.
That is in the Venn diagram for certain.
Okay.
I am more talking about the phenomenon, and this may not be a universal thing. I'm talking about the... less a pair of actual pants and more the radical shift of acceptable clothing norms that happens on a big holiday like a Thanksgiving, like a Christmas, like a whatever. A holiday where you wake up and you're like, it's the holiday today. I am not getting out of these comfortable pants that I'm wearing, and that is okay.
That is like my favorite, I shouldn't say my favorite, but one of my favorite parts of going to Huntington for Christmas.
One of my favorite parts of going to Huntington for Christmas mm-hmm. is, this is less true for Thanksgiving now these days because, you know, we got places to be, but like I'll watch the parade, I will cook up, you know, whatever dishes we're making while mm-hmm. wearing whatever the hell I choose below the belt, but I'm not wearing a belt because it's holiday
Can
pants.
Can I ask you something? As a man that works from home,
yeah,
feasibly every day for you could be holiday pants.
You are getting all up ahead of my notes, but I will go ahead and say yes. But one, Elizabeth Gilbert yelled at me indirectly one time when she was on our podcast
that.
And mm-hmm. said that the only way she can take her job seriously is if she takes it seriously and takes a shower and puts on, you know, clothes before she gets started with her day. And I do one of those things now because since Henry started going to daycare and I take him to daycare every day, like I can't roll up in there wearing holiday pants. I got to put on actual pants and I never switch back. I'm not that big of a like a slob.
Okay.
So I'm not wearing holiday pants all day. I'm wearing, you know, pants, which makes the holiday pants even more exciting.
Yeah.
I suppose this would be true. This is true of weekends also, but weekends I feel like are already like it's acceptable that this is a resting day. This is a day where you don't put on pants and that's fine. A holiday is just like, hey, a holiday almost feels defiant. Like how long have you been wearing those holiday pants? And it's like, don't fucking worry about it.
I was going to ask you if you were ever that type of guy. That went to a college class in...
No, never.
Your jammy jams.
Fucking never, man.
Okay.
Never. One, I never lived on campus, so like I didn't really have that excuse to roll up. But also like my clothes game, my fashion game was already pretty whack. And so like I couldn't like step it down. I was doing everything I possibly could to hang on to the ladder, if you know what I'm saying. It's just like... man, I love them. And there's, I have so many options and you got to have options. If it's a, you know, if it's a hot one, if it's a hot Austin Christmas, I'll put on some gym shorts.
Basketball shorts.
If it's a, you know, any cooler than that, I'll throw on the MeUndies lounge pants. Or if I want to get wild, the whole bodysuit. If it's getting a little bit, you know, colder than that, the flannel. And then like, if I need to break the emergency glass and grab the like thick sweatpants when it's cold, I can do that too. You always got to have mm-hmm. four pairs of comfort pants with you wherever you go.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I like being comfortable, obviously, but like I more like the message that holiday pants sends to other people, which is just like, don't even try me today.
Yeah,
don't even try
anywhere.
To get these pants off me today. And when you get a whole family together wearing holiday pants, all of them just like middle fingers up to the world, like this is us now.
Yeah.
Now we have holiday pants and there's no one who can make us less comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone needs holiday pants, multiple pairs. Mm-hmm. I celebrate them and I celebrate you. Can I steal you away?
Yes. Can I read this first personal message?
Yes.
This first message is for Andy. It is from Susan. Dear Handy Boy, chances are we're far, far away from each other right now, and I'm missing you. You're so dang supportive, and my most favorite husband with the USDA prime of bootays. I can't wait to be together again, to foster dogs, eat burritos and marvel at chunky caterpillar boys. Loving you very much from across the globe, your wife, Susan.
That is a very visual message. I'm thinking about the big caterpillar, the hungry, hungry caterpillar.
Yeah.
And so Sumi, thinking about Andy's USDA prime duff. Here's another one. This one's for Andy, and it's from Faith. Is it a different? I'm thinking
it's a different Andy.
X-Files. It's from Faith to Andy, who says, no, Faith says, Andy, thank you for being you. Your love, smile, and laugh is infectious. Keep bringing joy wherever you go. I love you. It's very sweet, but it is an alien conspiracy. It's so sweet, but everyone's Andy's now.
Didn't we talk about how Andy's are just generally good guys?
We have, yeah, because I tried to swing in there with my middle name, and were having none of it.
I know.
None of it.
I mean, you could be an Andy in that you are a good guy.
I'd have to shave.
Oh, yeah. No, I think you're right.
This week on Bullseye, Lin-Manuel Miranda on His Dark Materials, hip-hop, and life after Hamilton.
I know it's the first line of my obituary, so if that line is handled, then what else can I do with my time here?
It's Bullseye for MaximumFun.org and NPR.
Can I give you my second thing?
Oh, yeah.
My second thing is coupons.
Coupons.
We recently on Wonderful talked about how you are more resistant to coupons than I am.
That's
and
true.
It occurred to me that I loved coupons enough that I should bring them as a segment.
I am not going to try and put you on blast. I do not know I have ever seen you like clip out a coupon and follow through on it.
A lot of times in the mail, I will get little postcards.
This is true.
That say like 50% off X, go to this website and enter Y. And I tuck that in my purse. And then sometimes when I have downtime at work, I use that coupon.
That is true. I will also say the first year that we lived together, our refrigerator was a coupon graveyard.
Yeah.
You're very bad about sort of removing old things from the inside and the outside of the refrigerator.
Oh, are you going to blame me for the inside of the fridge?
Yeah, I am. I think sometimes going to blame you for the inside of the fridge. Sometimes I leave town for a week and I come back and the steaks that I had made like a week and a half before
that
I left are still up in there.
That is fair. Here's the thing about you, though, if we're going to do this.
Oh, let's fucking do this. Coupons.
A lot of time you will buy a cooking ingredient for a recipe you want to make.
Oh, yeah.
And then that ingredient will stay in the fridge.
It's true.
Until it is 3 years
later. I guess
this
is the end, folks.
Yeah.
You're hearing it
live. You stepped to it, and I was ready to go.
Okay.
You want to hear about coupons?
I do want to hear about coupons. Do you have a coupon for a new husband?
No.
Buy one.
Hey, I do have a coupon for a free hug.
Oh. This cord is too short, but we'll hit you up later.
Hit me up later. I am not a fan of coupons for the sake of coupons. I'm not somebody to combine multiple coupons for the purpose of extreme discounts.
Right.
I like a coupon when it offers me a deal on something I was already thinking of getting.
Okay, interesting.
So I did a little look into the history of coupons, and it actually started a super long time ago, 1887.
Is the first coupon? Is 1887?
That is kind of the first documented history of like a brand item using coupons.
I would only protest and say like probably like ancient Egypt. Somebody was like, boy, you sure do come in here and buy a lot of pots. I'm going to give you this little tablet that next time you come in, you'd be like, this is proof that I really like your pots. And you said you'd give me one pot, two pots for the price of one.
I mean, how do you, I guess down the pyramid walls, like how would you know that to be true, you know?
How wouldn't you know it to be true is what I would ask you to answer for.
This is real jazzual right now.
I'm telling you, I'm feeling sublime over here. Like I'm not wearing holiday pants right now and that's a crime.
Do you have a guess on what brand
was the first one to use coupons?
Yes.
I'm gonna say it's something fucked up like Sears. Sears, like is it a store or is it like a like an individual brand?
It is an individual brand.
I'm gonna say then General Mills.
Coca-Cola
had no What the fuck does Coca-Cola need coupons for? You're Coca-Cola. People are gonna buy your stuff.
You know, Coca-Cola started as Atlanta, as we know.
Yeah.
Coca-Cola would offer pharmacists 2 gallons of Coke syrup in return for the names and addresses of consumers who lived near that pharmacy.
So Zuckerberg didn't start the fucking fire then, huh? Coca-Cola got that shit rolling.
And then they direct mail the coupon to the consumer.
Damn, Coca-Cola, that's so brutal, Coca-Cola. Mm-hmm. In 1887, privacy was already being just fucking bought and sold for Coke syrup.
When I was doing research, what was weird is that the next example of a coupon wasn't until 1909.
There had to be coupons.
So the idea is that like 20 years later, another company was like, that's a good idea.
That or everybody else was like, that sucks, Coca-Cola. We won't cross that line for 22 more years.
Post distributed what is believed to be the second coupon ever for a penny off its grape nut cereal.
That's a...
Can you imagine? I mean, a penny off, maybe it was like, you know, 10 cents back in the day. So that was a real significant discount.
That is still, you take a penny off the 10 cent price of Grape Nuts, you're still paying 9 cents too many for a bad fucking cereal. Sorry, Grape Nuts. I didn't mean for it to happen like this, but you don't taste very good to me.
I like Grape Nuts, actually. Is that crazy?
No, I mean, no, everybody's different in their own different ways. And that's what makes the earth go around, I guess.
So I mentioned earlier this idea of extreme couponing. And I was curious kind of where that came about. This is a show on TLC that we have seen before and that is a little uncomfortable to watch because people are buying bulk items. And a lot of times they will have a large part of their house dedicated to this, in addition to spending a lot of time in the checkout line with a bunch of people waiting behind them. So it can be kind of uncomfortable to watch. So I was curious.
I
mean,
yeah, it's also like, I don't know, it feels really uncomfy to watch shows like that and try and throw any judgment on the people on it. Cause like, you don't know that walk. You don't know what kind of walk they're on.
No, that's very true. But I was just curious how it got started. Apparently in 2010, the Wall Street Journal titled an article, "Hard Times Turn Coupon Clipping into the Newest Extreme Sport." And then shortly after is when TLC started extreme couponing.
Well,
which has since taken off.
Is it still on?
It's, from what I can tell, it's still going. Also, but in 2015, it returned to Discovery Family and was renamed Greatest Givers Extreme Couponing, which I'm assuming maybe is people that use extreme couponing to donate materials.
Now this I'm fucking into.
Is very nice.
This is now that's some Robin Hood shit. I'm into that in a big, big way for some reason.
Well, it's kind of incredible to see people use this system and end up paying like 7 cents for something that would have cost like $800.
I love that. I want them to circulate that data, have like a flash mob roll up at some poor unsuspecting Walmart and buy the whole thing for like $22 and then just like give it to everybody in town.
Well, because the nature of coupons is a little like devious, you know, a lot of times it's to get you to spend more money than you were planning on spending anyway,
right?
You know, or to, you know, catch your eye if it's like one brand out of like 300 brands in the like cereal aisle,
right?
You know, so to like use that system to kind of benefit yourself is a little genius.
And that is why when I get my sugar-free hazelnut coffee mate at the, or whatever it
is. Do you see I saved that coupon?
Yeah, I saw it. But you get that. Here's the thing. You get that coupon every time you buy the hazelnut coffee mate. Uh-huh. And it's like, you already fucking got me, guys. Like, you're just wasting money at this point. I'm in. I'm all in. Okay? It's the only coffee creamer I'm ever going to drink. You do not have to keep giving me money, but I will take it. It pays for itself.
A lot of times when I go to like a CVS or a Walgreens, I still get coupons for like baby formula or diapers just from that time period in our lives.
Hey, can I tell you about my second thing?
Yes.
My second thing is so fucking like, it's kind of embarrassing, but my second thing is a song, and it's a song I've been listening to a lot lately, specifically in the drive to daycare with our son Henry, who, as you may know if you've listened to the show before, is going through sort of a rock and roll phase, which is to say a loud noises phase. So I was throwing some spaghetti at the wall. You heard about how he enjoys the Foo Fighters. There's one song now that he is such a big fan of, and it made me realize that I am also an enormous fan of AC/DC's Thunderstruck.
Whoa.
Yeah.
How did this come about?
Again, I was just sort of taking him through. I've taken him through a lot of the rock classics. And, you know, when I loaded up AC/DC, you got a few options in there. Back in Black. Okay, sure. Yeah.
Can I ask how he requests it?
He says rock and roll, but then like if you play anything other than Thunderstruck, he pitches a fucking fit. Thunderstruck is just pound for pound the most powerful song ever written by human beings. I love a riff, right? Yeah. I love a fucking iconic riff. Sweet Child of Mine or November Rain or, you know, whatever. There's tons of great riffs out there. But Thunder, can you beat that? Can you beat that? You cannot.
No, it's very jazzual.
It's not jazzual. It fucking shreds. It's not jazzual. If you tried to play that in a jazzual way, like, hey, that's kind of fresh, actually. Jot that down. Let's compose that later. I don't know. I listen to it every morning. It gets me fucking pumped up. I hear it on the drive to school. I drop them off. I listen to it again on the drive home. I get home. I watch some fucking sports because I'm just so charged up. If for some reason you've been avoiding powerful songs your whole life, I'm going to play Thunderstruck right now. So breaks your ass. It's like,
I feel like I definitely have heard this at hockey games.
So, yes, it's been played at like every sports arena ever. And I'll just say it right now. The reason I have such a special affection for it is because it was the official rally song of Marshall's different athletic programs. Because
oh, really?
We were the Thundering Herd.
Yeah.
And so, you know, fucking fourth quarter on the last drive of the game and you hear that. You're like, oh, yes. I don't even care about sports, but here we go. And then depending on the year and the athletic team that you are viewing, it's either like a righteous, you know, sports victory moment or like calamitous, horrible sports failure. But like, it's so, so good. The song came out as a single in September 1990, which is not as old as I thought it was. I thought the song was
about right to me.
Interesting. So Angus Young from AC/DC, you may know him as Angus Young. From AC/DC, the one who does the cool jump walk, duck walk, rock and roll thing, said in the liner notes of a later album, Thunderstruck, it started off from a little trick I had on guitar. I played it to Mal, that's Malcolm Young, his brother, who was also a founding member of AC/DC, and he said, oh, I've got a good rhythm idea that will sit well in the back. We built the song up from that. We fiddled about with it for a few months before everything fell into place. Lyrically, it was really just a case of finding a good title. We came up with this thunder thing based on our favorite childhood toy, Thunderstreak, and it seemed to have a good ring to it. AC/DC equals power. That's the basic idea. I love this.
Guys, you remember liner notes?
I do.
You remember reading that little booklet and just getting all the secrets behind an album?
I loved that. I mean, you get it somewhat if you're like, you know, if you collect vinyl or buy vinyl of like any band or album that you like, you still get it in there. I still love Casey Musgraves and Golden Hour, like wrote a whole like thing about what Golden Hour mean. I think I talked about that during the Casey Musgraves thing. But she had her time. We're talking about AC/DC's Thunderstruck right now. Fucking Angus Young was like, hey, check out this thing I can do. And Mal was like, fuck yeah, I can do something over that. What do we call the song? I don't know. AC/DC equals power. How about Thunder? Yes. This is great. This is great. This is going to be the best, most powerful song ever. It went high on the charts in Australia, Belgium, Finland, Ireland, the Netherlands, New Zealand, Spain, and the US. It's so powerful, it brought the world together. The only thing more powerful than the song is the music video, which I did not send to you, but I highly encourage you to watch.
Yeah, I will.
It is AC/DC playing in some sort of wild concert hall / prison, and everybody in the prison is wearing AC/DC Thunderstruck shirts. They all say AC/DC Thunderstruck. Everybody's wearing a shirt with the name of the band and the name of the song title on it, which is fucking wild. And then they have this one shot where they got like a, you know, thick, clear plastic floor and had Angus Young do his little duck walk shredding thing on it and filmed it like from underneath so you can like maybe see his balls a little bit. They love that shot so much because it's featured in the video like 13 different times, the exact same stunt. It is like hysterical and so wild. And Thunderstruck, man, just has it going on. I love good riffs. I should do like a riff month where I just talk about some of my favorite riffs, because I already did Sweet Child of Mine. I already mentioned
God,
that.
That segment has the perfect name.
Oh my God.
You know,
Griffin's great guitar tunes.
That's it.
Hey, can I tell you about what our friends at home are super excited
about?
Yes,
please.
Well, we got one here from Zachary. Zachary says, my wonderful thing is the show Twin Peaks, the story of when eccentric FBI special agent Dale Cooper comes to the town of Twin Peaks to investigate the murder of homecoming queen Laura Palmer. I love how each episode drifts deeper into the strange and how you grow to understand and appreciate each character's complex journey. How much Twin Peaks you watched? I feel like we talked about this.
Like part of one episode. I had friends in college that would do Twin Peaks nights, and I like missed the first two, and then I tried to come for part of the third, and I had no idea what was going on, and I never went again.
Yeah, I took a run at it like 5 years ago or so, and then I took a much more successful run at it, which is to say I finished it the like first few months Henry was born, and I needed something to watch from 3 to 5 a.m., hopped on that Twin Peaks, finished that in like a week.
I am open to it, though. I'm wondering what my experience would be like.
Now?
Yeah. At my age, this far after.
It's still got character enough that you... Yeah, it's not like... It's not... I don't know. It's not like funny bad, right? Like, it's not like something that you have to be young and
ironic. Is it like Riverdale? Is it basically like Riverdale?
Riverdale is like it. Oh. That's the God's honest truth. Okay. Riverdale sometimes wishes very badly that it was Twin Peaks. Okay. So I think that's reason enough to, although we have not been good Riverdale stewards.
We're
what, like 2.5 seasons behind or something? Anyway, Rigel says, similar to the Jeep wave mentioned on your recent episode, motorcyclists also acknowledge each other as they pass. It usually just involves moving the left hand down to about knee level in an upside down peace sign or simply an outstretched hand, but it's a nice show of camaraderie within our community.
Oh, I like that.
I like it too.
Except I'm never gonna have a wave with anyone.
There is some sort of like highway Illuminati shit going on though, where everybody's got secret signs, and I didn't know about this. And our podcast is now like becoming the secret door into this community.
Oh, let me make one. Okay, if you drive a CRV, your wave is to stick your elbow out the window and flap it up and down.
That's cool. That's cool.
All right. So if you see another CRV owner,
flap them bows.
Elbow.
I'm gonna say if you're driving in a Mitsubishi Eclipse,
yes,
and you drive by another Mitsubishi Eclipse, just let a balloon out your window.
Oh, it means you've always got to have balloons ready.
You do. Yeah, this is part of it. But maybe you shouldn't have bought a Mitsubishi Eclipse if you. Mm-hmm. We didn't want this level of responsibility. Mm-hmm. Thank you to Bowen and Augustus for the use of our theme song, Money Won't Pay. You can find a link to that in the episode description. And thanks to Maximum Fun for having us on the network. They got a bunch of really good shows that you're just going to just cram.
And a new website, by the way.
And a new website, MaximumFun.org. It's looking slick,
had a glow
stylish,
up.
Had a big glow up, RSS glow up from the inside out. It's got all kinds of fun flash games for the kids. And it's got Neopets. That's super cool. And also
badges.
I know that I'm going to talk about Neopets next week, so just go ahead and strap in for that.
Badges to add to your LinkedIn.
Badges for your LinkedIn. Cool MIDI tracks of some of your favorite tunes. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've heard a MIDI version of Thunderstruck before, and it was not great. So that's going to do it for us for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for... We're so happy that you came to darken our doors and
brighten our doors.
You came to our door. You fixed the light bulb.
Thank you.
You shot a ray of pure energy out of your torso into our home.
Mm-hmm.
And you fucking blasted me. You blasted me out of the way. And Rachel was like, what was that? And then you hovered 3 feet off the ground and came into our home, still blasting energy out of the front of your chest. And we had to call the police on you because we didn't ask for this today.
But thank you.
But thank you. I just wish that your hair hadn't turned into light also and turned into like light beams and light rays that attacked my family. Mm-hmm. That's the only, if I could give you one note.
Yeah.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.
Hey, it's Jesse Thorne. We're very happy to announce that tickets for MaxFunCon 2020 will go on sale Friday, November 29th at 11 a.m. Pacific. I also want to let you know, this coming year, MaxFunCon 2020 will be our last MaxFunCon for the foreseeable future. For 2020 and beyond, we're going to be looking for ways to connect with more of you in person and spread the spirit of MaxFun farther than it's ever gone before. In the meantime, if you want to join us at the last MaxFunCon in Lake Arrowhead, June 12th through the 14th, you can find details at maxfuncon.com.